Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History is now streaming on Hulu.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over everything.
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, motherfucker.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show,
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Wake up.
Wake
your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Fred. What's going on? Here's you.
Fred, what's poppin', man? Get it off your chest, bro.
Man, first off, I'm really tired of this whole COVID stuff going on, man. Like, it's really pushing a lot of stuff back for myself. Keep me away from my kids, cause and they mama not together and stuff, so it's like, that's really hard on me right now. So all that I could do right now is just FaceTime them and, you know, talk to them on the phone. That's really good. That's really messing with me. And
now, how much of a FaceTime father were you before, though?
I mean, I FaceTime my kids dang near every day. I get to work. When I'm on my break, I FaceTime them right before they about to go to bed. When I'm about to go on my lunch break at work, I call them, or if I'm at home, I'm FaceTiming them, telling them how much I love them.
The only thing that's changed is you don't get them on the weekend?
I can't get them on the weekend. Yeah, basically, you know.
Okay.
We try to work through it. It's also, the COVID is also pushing back my competition out of work too.
What competition?
Man, it's a bodybuilding competition. I've been dieting and training for this dang old competition for 2 damn years now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That'll be back when everything opens back up. At least you're taking care of yourself.
How's your diet now that you're at home?
You said,
Are you able to work out at home still and keep yourself up?
Yeah, but it's the home workout ain't the same.
He wants that competition.
It's a whole different feeling. You know, you can get way more weights in, better reps than all that. You know, I ain't got all the equipment that the gym give at home. You know, I got my little weight, dumbbells, resistance bands, and air rollers and all that. But it's nothing like this.
The most important thing about the home workout is the most important thing about any workout, and that's the diet. Because it's so easy to snack and get back into carbs at the house. Like, you really got to watch your diet at the crib.
Yeah, you know, I still be on there. You know, I stay eat my yams and my vegetables and stay weighing my stuff out and meal prepping. But at the same time, you know, when you doing this consistently and then you finally want to just go to Buffalo Wild Wings or get a... good old steak dinner. Then your competition get pushed back again. You just like,
oh, damn.
Well,
at least your kids are safe. At least you're safe.
I can't believe he's going to Buffalo Wild Wings for steak dinners.
What
Hello,
is
who's
going
this? On in the world?
Good morning.
Y'all are crazy. Hello, who's this?
Angela. Good morning, Angela.
Hey, Snack Man.
Oh, boy.
What's up? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you? How's the comedy going?
I'm old. My blood type's O positive, so I'm at low risk, but I wash my hands and all that stuff. But listen, I've been writing mad jokes here. I got a joke for you. Ready?
Oh, boy.
What
ready.
Do you call... Hello?
Okay. Go ahead. We're ready.
Thank you. What do you call the COVID-19 virus with a death rate of 2%?
What?
The Corona Light. Thank you.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. That joke just made more people sick in the country than coronavirus has in 3 weeks.
Hello, who's this?
This is Kiera.
Hey, Kiera, get it off your chest.
I just want to say that when you guys go to the grocery store, don't come in there with an attitude, because that just makes everybody's job harder.
Right.
That's right.
To everybody who's helping y'all, because when y'all come in there with an attitude, don't nobody want to help y'all.
So I agree with that, and I'm always extremely appreciative when I go to the supermarket and I see people who are working and stocking the shelves and checking people out and making sure the self-checkout is working well. I'm very grateful and appreciative to see everybody at work.
Well, I appreciate that, because people come in there every day with an attitude like I'm supposed to be here. I don't have to be here.
Well, you know what, though? You're giving out free jewelry that people can use for life, though. You know what I'm saying? When you walk in the room, you can dictate the energy of the room by the energy that you're giving up.
Definitely.
All right. Well, have a good one, Mama.
And I have found that people have been extremely pleasant, like that work at the supermarket. And so, you know, I appreciate that, too. I really, every time I'm like, thank you so much for coming to work. I appreciate it. I never said that before, but now I'm like, thank you so much for coming to work.
Absolutely.
Hello, who's this?
What's up? This is Mr. Spark It Up. I go by the name of J-Mang.
Is it Mr.? Okay, whatever. Get it off your chest, bro.
Oh, yeah. I just like to let the world know that after 15 long months, your boy has finally got his license cleared. Yes, sir. No more dirty driving.
Okay. No more riding dirty.
Congratulations, King.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all. Thank y'all very much.
All right. Well, be safe out there. Don't lose it again, brother.
Hey, one more thing, though. Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all got caller ID. Go ahead and say my number. So when I call next time, y'all already...
Well, we don't got no damn call ID.
Okay, store his number.
We do have call ID, but we not storing his number.
Store his number.
Cause I can win. I got something I want to ask.
Your number's the 904 number, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we not storing that though. But have a good one though, brother.
Duval.
Have a good
what
one.
What you say
though.
About Lil Duval?
He said he's from Duval.
Oh.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how Black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History is now streaming on Hulu.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, We'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Ali from Jacksonville.
Ali, what up,
Duval, bro?
Already. Hey, listen, I got a question for y'all.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to hear your opinion about this. It's amazing how white people could call black people the N-word. It's not a big deal. Black people could call white people crock-ass cracker. It's not a big deal. But when somebody speak their opinion about the LGBT community, it's a big uproar. And that's just somebody speaking their opinion about that. I'm just trying to see what's the big uproar. If everybody have their opinion, let them speak their opinion. If that's what they want to do, let them do that. They should embrace that's what they are, and it's cool. It shouldn't be a big dramatic uproar. And I just want to hear your opinion about that from both of y'all.
Well, white people say the N-word, it is an uproar.
Yeah, it definitely is. I don't know where you are.
Yeah, it is an uproar.
Not really.
Yes, it is.
People definitely have gotten fired for that.
It's not the uproar like the LGBT community.
What the hell is the LGB? Now, that cable package you just talked about is way worse than the basic one. Now, the basic one is LGBT. I don't know why you just LGBTQ. Got rid of the G.
Oh, well, I don't know the alphabet, man, but I just want to hear y'all opinion about that. When Boosie said his comment, it was a big uproar. When whoever said anything, what really got me when Wendy Williams had to apologize for what she said. It's like, come on, man, you can't have an opinion about that.
Well, listen, here's the truth to the matter. You got to know who you effing with. You know what I'm saying? You slap somebody in the face, they might slap you back. You slap somebody else in the face, they might punch you and knock you out. You slap somebody else in the face, they might pull out a gun and shoot you. You got to know who you're dealing with, that's all. And be ready to deal with them.
Yeah, I just don't get it, man. Everybody should have their own opinion. It shouldn't be a big deal about it. If that's what they choose to do, that's on them. Let them embrace it and move on.
So listen, why is this the first thing on your mind in the morning, though?
No, it's not. I just can't get
no, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Have a good one,
yes,
bro.
But why does it matter how other people live their lives anyway?
I don't.
If it doesn't affect you, if you're not part of the LGBTQ plus community, and you're, like, why does it bother you?
Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hey, what's your name, bro?
Hey.
Hello.
Hey. Money Making Mitch. How y'all doing?
What's money up, Making Mitch. You ain't making no money Mitch. Right now. You ain't making no money in a recession.
Right, you crazy. Cut it out, Charlamagne the God.
How you making money? Tell me how you making money.
By giving proper advice on how people should be really clean in their house. That's enough money for me to educate these people.
If you really, oh, you finessing.
Of course. If you really, really, really want to kill this coronavirus, all hospitals and everybody's home, just start from sterilization room. Start from the bathroom, then work your way out. Everything you use in the bathroom, you can use around your whole apartment. Every hospital that's scared, they have training. Sterility is important. So if you just expand your sterilization department and make the whole hospital sterile, then everything, every item, every equipment, every instrument can actually be used properly. All these numbers.
Money Making Mitch, let me ask you a question. People actually paying for this advice?
Of course they are.
Cleaning the bathroom?
Clean your bathroom, actually.
I agree that you have to do sterilization, but you do know that it's transmitted from person to person, right?
Exactly, but it depends on how many people are in your house and do you have a team that's doing sterilization. This is a family. This isn't people from next door coming into my house.
I miss
you. How are you making money off this? Yeah, I'm confused. How do you make money?
You're talking about financial money. I don't need financial money. I don't need no finances. I'm fine. Financial.
What other money is there?
But yeah, my money's there. But financially, I'm fine. But the other money is the other important money. That's is information. Knowledge is power.
Yeah, knowledge is currency. You mean? Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It is. You know, so that right there alone, I'm saving lives by telling people. I served in the military 17 years as a medical officer. I've done all forms of surgery. I've been in so many different situations, and we treat every patient. Now, this is the coronavirus. We treat every patient as if they were HIV. Now we have to treat every patient as if they have HIV, corona, and all these other symptoms. That's pretty dope, because now you have to stay on top of sterility for the rest of your life. You understand?
Okay.
This is
no.
This okay. should be an awakening call.
Well, thank you, brother, for calling, man. We really
I don't understand, but you know, to each his own.
So you talking about that type of money? You talking about financial money? What other money is there? I'm
he meant currency. That's all.
Oh my god!
Oh, currency. Hello, who's this?
Hi guys, it's Maribel, one of the Kelly girls.
Hey, one of the Kelly girls. How are you, Maribel?
Good. Uh-huh, guys. It's been a while. Thanks for taking my call today. Not kidding. What's it called? I've been waiting and no one's been taking my call.
How are you, first of all? How are you and the Kelly girls quarantining?
It's terrible. I'm bored out of my mind. We're bored out of our mind.
You guys are quarantining together, right?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
And I mean, my sister's keeping up with school, and I'm just kind of doing my own thing, kind of trying to figure out life.
Just floating. This is a good time to figure out life, though. This is a great time to figure out life.
It is. And that's been on my head. Like, it's just been trying to figure out life, but it's fine.
Okay. Well, that's good, baby. Okay.
Yeah. And we're glad you're safe
out there, right?
Yeah. Oh, shout out to Dante on Top Flight Security.
Top Flight Security. Tell him salute. We appreciate him.
Thank you so much. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny. Executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter. A People's History tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History, is now streaming on Hulu.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line right now, Kelly
Rowland.
That's right,
the Godiva chocolate coffee goddess.
What's up? How are you?
Good morning.
What's happening? Good morning.
Crazy pandemic.
Uh-huh.
How are you
been looking,
up in
you've been looking amazing and this inspiration to all of us.
Thank you. Both the first 2-3 weeks in quarantine, I was learning how to cook, and Titan was baking cookies and brownies and stuff every day. I was like, I can't be doing this every day. I got caught up. I almost got that quarantine 15, and then I had to get my life.
How much did you gain? I gained 20, but I lost it, though. How much you gain?
I gained at least almost 10 because he was, I'm telling you, he was baking cookies. I had a friend of mine who barbecues, and I love barbecue. So she kept bringing barbecue over here because it was like a comfort food, you know, in a time where it's just so much uncertainty, you want some comfort food. That's exactly what I was doing. And we started making pasta. I learned how to make pasta. I was like, oh, I got this down. So I made it every other night. You ain't going to have me.
So what's your specialty in the kitchen?
Right now, it is the pasta. I've got the pasta down. I made trout and salad. And I just learned how to make oxtails.
Really?
Gravy.
Really?
Yes. Yes. A Jamaican homie showed me how to do it. So I got it.
So now we know why the bikini pick came, because you had lost him 15 and you was feeling good about yourself.
That's where that 10, came Charlamagne. From. She said she gained 10, Charlamagne. 10. Now, how's the baby doing? How is the baby now? Because baby's what, 5, 6 years old now?
Ain't no baby
no more. Now?
Ain't
five,
no baby.
That's not a baby.
No, mine is still, I still cool my babies. I got a 6, 5, and a 3. They're my babies, but go ahead.
No, but Envy, he's not a baby no more. The way he talks to me, Titan is watching documentaries. Like, he is just his own little person, and it's the coolest thing to watch. And I'm mad I didn't go back-to-back like you told me.
I told you back-to-back.
Have another one. I'm mad I didn't go back-to-back.
They keep each other company. They in there with each other. They play all day. They only come to me when they gotta eat. And when they gotta go to the bathroom. Other than that, they don't bother me at all. They just do. Well, they bother me in the morning sometimes. But other than that, they good.
Yo, that's the hard part, is because like me and his dad are his playmates. So it's like, mommy, can you play with me? And it's the sweetest voice. You can't be a jerk and say, no, or whatever. Like, I have to like really like stop what I'm doing and have kind of like shifted my schedule to like around his wake up time. You know what I mean? So, and we've quarantined, like, really tough with another family. So he has his best friend that comes over, but that's about it.
Okay.
You know, Kelly, I was watching you on Mother's Day, and I was watching you post, like, all your friends, and all of y'all have become mothers now. And I was like, how has motherhood changed the dynamic of your crew?
We can just sit down somewhere, drink wine, and watch them play. That's
word, word.
It's really, I remember when I had Titan and Solange made this post that just made me boo-hoo cry because, and I just saw, like, I actually looked over all those and I was crying that day too because it's really awesome to grow up with someone that you've been knowing since you were 9 years old or younger. I know for some folks out there, and y'all get to share life together. That's really a blessing. And I didn't take it for granted. And whether it was women that I knew on my story or women that I didn't know, I just wanted to post mothers. Like, you know what I mean? And it just, like, some of them I've known for a long time and watched grow up. And we've probably done some crazy shit together. But now it's just, like, we grown. And it's, motherhood is a blessing for sure.
All right, we got more with Kelly Rowland. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We're still kicking it with Kelly Rowland. Charlamagne?
Kelly, how do you know when a pick is not a thirst trap? Because you said the bikini pick wasn't a thirst trap. How do you know when it's not?
Oh, y'all know I was. That was a play on words, Charlamagne. Damn.
Got you. Okay. As you take a drink of water. Okay.
Exactly.
So it did its job because I saw Rick Ross jump in the comments.
What did Rick Ross say?
He said you got a bright future. That's what he said.
What? Did he say that for real?
So yes.
No, Tim posted, he said, every night I got to prove myself. Do you remember that line from,
yes.
Oh my God, from,
was it Five Heartbeats? Was it the Five Heartbeats?
Yeah. Every night I got to prove my love. I was like, boy, please.
He didn't know you were gonna post that before you posted it, or did you be like, I'm about to post this?
I didn't tell him.
So what did he say, and how does he feel when all these guys are making these comments like Ross and all that? What is that conversation like?
Literally, like, every night I got to prove my
love. That's real. That's real. That's why he got to go out there with them golf clubs. he mad as hell. He's stressed out. Then he come back in like, okay, I'll figure it out.
What if he blocked you from that?
No, he wouldn't. Don't be good. I ain't going nowhere. Tim is my bestest friend. Charlamagne's seen us together. Y'all all seen us together.
Yeah, I seen you guys in Houston in the club. Mm-hmm. What if he posted a thirst trap?
Tim would never do that.
What if you put on some gray sweatpants, no shirt? You know the gray sweatpants pictures that guys do.
Oh, the gray sweatpants trick? I don't think I would care.
Don't give him no ideas now.
Yeah, don't give him no ideas. What if he created an OnlyFans account? What if he created an OnlyFans account?
Wait. Hey, Tim. You going to put on some gray sweatpants and post a picture? He said, what? You going to put on some gray sweatpants and post a picture? He said, I ain't thirst trapping like you.
So when the album dropping, Kelly Kel?
I don't know, but it is coming.
Are you afraid? Are you
2020 this year?
Wait. Can I just say something? I'm paying for everything out of my pocket.
Okay.
I'm paying for everything out of my pocket. So I'm trying to be smart about everything. I've bought my songs, everything. But I'd like to do a video. When the hell am I gonna do a video? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. You're not on the label?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
You just with Roc Nation. Roc Nation is managing you still or partly managing it? Because I know Hubby manages.
Roc Nation is managing, So it's just like really, tricky with, us wanting to do videos. But it's definitely like, it ain't going to happen for a while.
But you know what? I've seen people do creative things right now, and as far as figuring out how to do a video, like G-Eazy had people send in different things, and he filmed his part. And you have so many people that you could get some really dope content from if you wanted to film something to figure it out.
And I did have my assistant hit him, so we'll see what happens with that.
Cause so we got to make sure.
I love finding like new things and giving people an opportunity. Sounds good.
One more thing. Have you seen that old Destiny's Child clip that's floating around the internet, and y'all just talking about all type of birds? Were y'all high in that video?
No, good and doggone well, we were not high in
the video. It sounded like y'all was high, though.
No, that was the 13th hour of the day where I remember they put on our schedule, like this whole, by the way, the reason why we were successful internationally is because we put the work in over there. We'd be over there for like seven days in 8 different countries and literally just like have interviews all day. And that was the 13th hour of wherever it was where this gentleman's accent was, because I don't remember. It was definitely a blur. And he was asking us all these questions. So, yeah, when you ask somebody, what kind of animal you want to be, I want to be a bird. Like, that's not happening, Michelle. Black Panther. Like, we were deliriously out of our minds. So, no. It would definitely probably sound cooler to say, yeah, man, we were. But we were not. Far from that. We were just delirious.
All right. It's Kelly Rowland. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's topic time. Pick up the phone, baby. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we are talking about Eva. She was on Wendy Williams' show, and she talked about her child and changing her child's last name. Let's hear it.
Sterling, yes, like everybody else,
changed her name this past year. We went through a lot to do it, but
how much more before the actual process is done?
The name change is illegal, so now we have to go through the adoption process. And I mean, he's making it a little bit easier for us, acting crazy in the public.
Well, I guess Life Jennings seen that and he didn't like that too much, are you?
He said, I think this is so whack, changing your daughter's last name from her father's to somebody else's, especially when the father tries to see her. The daughter don't have anything to do with their beef, and what kind of man allows that? Ish piss me off.
So we're asking 800-585-1051, is it acceptable to change your child's last name? What do you think, Charlamagne?
I mean, I got to know the context of the situation. You know what I'm saying? If you're doing it just out of spite, just because you don't like your baby daddy because he don't want to be with you and you got a new man now, that's whack. But, I mean,
what about
if you got a deadbeat daddy?
Yeah, what about if it's a deadbeat daddy, the dad's not around, the dad is not taking care of the child?
I have no problem with that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like, by the way, the son and daughter shouldn't want to wear the name of a deadbeat.
Yeah, I don't know either situation, but, you know, with Kevin McCall, I mean, we all know Kevin McCall has problems mentally. But it does seem like he is trying to take care of his daughter. It seems like he goes to court. I just don't know. Like, I don't know if he's abusive. I don't know. You know what I mean? But in a situation, if there is a deadbeat dad and I'm taking it away from that situation, if the dad is not in the child's life and he's not even helping no way whatsoever, no. I say change that name immediately. What do you think, E?
Well, legally, if a woman wants to change her children's last names, she either has to get consent from the biological father, and if he doesn't give consent, he can object to it, and then she has to get a petition and then go to court, and he can show up to court and say he doesn't want that to happen, and then the judge has to decide. So that's how it goes down legally. But I do feel like whoever is the father, if the mother chooses to do that and the father is causing issues or he's not in the child's life or not holding up his responsibilities, then he's not really your dad.
And if the last name is Zimmerman, you definitely want to change that one. You don't want to walk around with that last name.
Goodness gracious. Hello, who's this?
Sheila from Jersey.
So what do you think? Is it acceptable to change your child's last name?
No, I don't agree with that.
Explain.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I don't. No matter how much you don't like your kid's dad, or no matter how crazy he might act, or no matter what he does, changing the last name is not going to change the DNA. It's not going to change who the father is. So you have to get over that. And on top of that, like, you're falsifying an image of somebody that's not true. Like, that's not her dad. And if one day it doesn't work out between you two, now he legally is her dad, and that's not really her dad. You know what I mean? Like, it's stupid, it's petty.
It doesn't make the other person your dad. They would have to actually adopt the children. So if the kids aren't adopted, even if you're married, right?
I'm talking about, like, the image that you're portraying to your children.
Now, what if your kids are like, I want to have the same last name as you and my dad, you know, the stepfather?
Well, I mean, that's a choice that they have to make, and the two parents should come to a middle ground with. That would be their choice. But if they're not old enough to make those type of decisions, just saying that because whatever the situation is, you know, like some kids, they grow up and they're told this is their dad, this is their dad, and that's what they think, you know, like.
Okay.
So
what if the biological father is absent from the children's life?
Me personally, I don't agree in that. My father was not in my life either, and my mother still maintained our last name as his. I mean, I guess that would be up to the child when they grow up to decide if they want to do that or not.
Okay. Thank you, Mama.
I just wouldn't do that.
Okay. Hello, who's this?
This is Boone from Dayton, Ohio.
Hey, is it acceptable to change a child's last name?
I think it just really depends on the circumstances. You know, my daughter, her father is not in her life and has never been in her life, which mm-hmm. is fine, but she still has his last name, and I don't tell her, like, bad things about her dad. You know, she can find out on her own, just like my mom told me about my dad.
Damn.
But I don't think a name defines a person. Now, if you have, you know, someone new in your life, and you want to spend the rest of their life with you, and, you know, you and your kids are a package deal, and if that dad is not, you know, in that child's life, I don't see a problem with it then. But, you know, then you got these bitter baby moms.
Mm.
You know, you got these, you know, baby moms that, you know, couldn't change the man's life with a child, and, you know, being used as a tactic to attack.
Right.
You know, so, you know, a baby is not a pawn. You know,
right?
So whatever that child's name is, leave that baby alone.
Okay.
But you know, that child, I think it is also like, as we always talk about women taking the husband's name after marriage, I think for kids, if you live in a house with the mom and the stepfather and that's who you know is your dad and you call him dad, you might want to have the same last name.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, this is Nathan out of Orlando, Florida. Good
morning,
Angela.
Good morning.
What up, bro?
Peace, King.
Is it acceptable to change a child's last name, brother?
Nah, brother, I don't think it is, man. I want to share experience. I'm glad you guys picked up. I actually had an ex-wife who tried to do that to me, and I would like to use her government if that's okay with y'all.
Just the first name, please.
Sandra.
Okay.
Out of South Carolina, Charlemagne.
I already know. You got you a nice country-ass gal.
Yep, tried to do that to your boy, and I think that's hateful and disrespectful to a man. I don't think nobody should do anything like that.
Were you in your child's life? Are you in your child's life?
I am in my child's life. I love my kids very much. I'm a Virgo, and you already know how we do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Love our kids. Okay.
You know, we take care of our own.
So what happened? Did she try to do it legally, and then you blocked it?
She talked about trying to do it, and then she got a lawyer to try to do it, and then I, you know, kind of paid a little bit of money out there, and, you know, they dropped the whole thing.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you, brother. So what's the moral of the story, guys?
The moral of the story is that every case is different, though. And there's no one-size-fits-all when it comes to family. So I think whatever decision you make, it always has to be in the best interest of your children and not in your own selfish best interest. The moral of the story is y'all better stop picking who y'all mate with like y'all rolling dice in the back of a moving goddamn pickup truck, okay? That's what y'all better stop doing, all right?
Take care of your kids,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. When you lay down with people, man, think about spending the rest of your life with this person, because you never know. This person might give you a disease you can't get rid of. This person might give you a baby. Or better yet, you might grow to love this person and be married to him the rest of your life. Either way, that's all forever. Just pick the right forever when you're dealing with these people, okay?
All right, we got more coming up next. We're The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line. Friends in the room.
Indeed.
DL Hughley, welcome, sir.
Hey, man, I'm glad y'all still made it. I'm glad y'all all right.
We haven't left the house. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. I go to work and I come back because we're doing the TV show and the radio show. So I'm the only dude I know that would build a set during the middle of a coronavirus. But, yeah, we go to work every day. Now, of course, even though I work with my daughter, I haven't hugged her in 3 months. But, you know, other than
really?
Being normal. No.
What precautions do you take? You put a mask on?
Yeah, a mask, gloves, the whole thing. Except when I'm broadcasting. Then I don't. But other than that, or when we're shooting, other than that, we just kind of. I think I'm really sad because even though you see the deaths going up, this drive to get, and I understand it because you ultimately your answer can't just be everybody stay home. Mm-hmm. But it's just sad that the fact that it's the people who are dying that the American population are not uncomfortable with. Old people, black people,
and black people,
poor people. Yeah, they don't. I mean, you know what? The one thing we'll never run out of is poor black people or poor brown people. So I figure they figure we're expendable.
You know, it's crazy, Dale. We had the same thought because I said that I saw you post this on Instagram, and it literally, like, I might have posted it seconds after, but I said, you know, America's economy is an omelet, and poor people and black people and brown people are eggs, and they don't mind breaking a few eggs to make that goddamn omelet.
The one thing they'll never run out of is poor black and brown people. That's the one thing we have. And old people, like if you look at who's coming down with diseases, primarily people in prison, people who work in meatpacking plants or in close proximity, old people, and black and brown people. And America's like, man, why should I not have a mall open? Because the undesirable, the people that we have to figure out where to warehouse are dying. And I think it's, mm-hmm. it's really America's real life a nature selection of the purge.
Mm. Yeah. DL, who do you trust and who do you listen to when it comes to what's going on during this pandemic? Because I was watching your show and I was watching you talk about Dr. Fauci and talk about Donald Trump, and basically Dr. Fauci is a co-defendant, right, for Donald Trump because he's not stepping in.
Mm-hmm. He has to be. Ultimately, you know the kind of people who listen to that man. And he needs to be challenged directly. And I think when a man like that tells you well, first off, I didn't mind him saying, you know, them ingesting disinfectants because the Trump bleach is perfect for the Trump people that are Trump supporters because it works great on whites and it's hell on colors. So it's a. It's good. But when that man, he wasn't in there when he made that particular statement, but look at all the statements that took flight that he later on went on the other avenues and then tried to correct as opposed to doing it right there. The oath he took was not to an administration. The oath he took was to do no harm. And he does harm when he sits there and he lets those things happen. And what he wanted to avoid was him being silent, and he has been. And I think it's just cowardice. I think you're a doctor. Anytime somebody... What happened to the other disease that he touted? The other drug that he touted?
If people hydroxychloroquine or whatever that
hydroxychloroquine.
Mm-hmm. If you spend the last few weeks listening to the president, look how many people would be dead. Like, literally, just listening to him. So you can't be the greatest nation in the world when you can't listen to your leader when they go, no, don't listen to him. And you sit there and say it, and you an accomplice, you just let it happen. It's insane to me. And I think that he has been able to manipulate, senators and congressmen and now the medical establishment, and I think it's to America's detriment.
Now, what do you think about Joe Biden right now? And, you know, because right now is either Joe Biden or Donald Trump. What are your thoughts on Biden?
I can't wait to vote for Joe Biden. I'm going to wait. I wouldn't risk my life, going to the mall, but I would vote for Joe Biden, I'm telling you. And this whole Tara Reid thing and whether he did what she said, America in 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, decided that sexual assault was not you could not be excluded from the presidency for being a sexual assaulter. They already said that. They already said you can grab all the you want. You can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. We don't care about that. So I don't care about it now. If you didn't care about it then, let's not make that a prerequisite for being the president right now. And I think ultimately, if you look, what America needs more than anything else is somebody who pays attention to science. And more than anything else, they need somebody who's empathic, somebody who gives a that people are dying. Not one time has this dude said, I'm sorry. Not one of his hotels is open to take Corona. Nothing. Nothing. Not one modicum of sympathy or, listen, in America right now, before we're done with this conversation, thousands of people would be dead, and this nation doesn't look like it's mourning at all.
Right.
It doesn't look like it gives a at all.
Hey, I agree with you, DL, but I don't think none of them care. And the reason I don't think none of them care is because at the end of the day, all of them care about the bottom line, which is the economy. Now, how they present it may be different. Some of them might be straight up with you and be like, hey, motherfucker's going to die. Others might be like, that's wrong. What's happening? But you know what? Let's reopen.
But that's not too much different than us. Like, literally, I care about the economy, but I know things got to get back. We have to. This it's unsustainable to have people warehoused or shelved in their homes. But ultimately, you have to have people. When you ask to leave people, you got to at least care about them.
All right.
Mm. Now you know that if you take a drug, it can hurt. Even if you give a vaccine out, or you issue a drug, it for some people that drug may be detrimental. It may cause them harm. But it doesn't mean you don't try to do the best you can for as many people as you can. Who has he done the best for? Literally, who does he care about?
Rich people.
He doesn't even care about his own people. Literally, he'll sacrifice them. So you literally have somebody every day, people are dying, and all he talks about is when he did the Lincoln, the interview in front of Lincoln, mother, you talking about how bad it was in front of a mother, got a shot.
Got his head blown off.
He got shot.
All right, we have more with D.L. Hughley. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Roll another one.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with DL Hughley. Yee.
What do you think about people discussing, quote, holding your vote hostage because they want to make sure that...
Don't say people. Diddy. Yeah, me.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that are agreeing with that. So people are saying that...
And a lot of people agree to anything. There was a lot of... If somebody said they were Jesus, thousands of people would take up the call. So that's stupid, but it's dumb. Black people are dying from this. Black people. So maybe, and Puffy's statement was irresponsible and deadly. I'll tell you this. Black people are dying disproportionately from this. We are. It's us, our grandfathers, our mothers, our fathers. So maybe what we get right away is somebody who isn't unconcerned that we are dying. Maybe we get to fucking survive. How about that? How about take that? How about we survive? How about somebody that we're dying by the dozens and nobody gives a fuck about it? How about that? How about pick somebody who at least will pretend to give a fuck?
I have to respectfully disagree with you, DL. I don't think there's nothing irresponsible about demanding something for your vote because, let's be clear, Black people aren't dying because of coronavirus. Black people are dying because of systemic racism. The underlying conditions that systemic racism that America has laid down for decades and decades and decades that nobody from any government, any particular party has helped us with. All they've done is contribute to the systemic racism that exists in the Black and brown community. So it don't matter if it's coronavirus, cancer, diabetes, whatever the next disease is going to be, we're going to always be vulnerable until we change that.
And you know what we need to change? Participation. More people didn't vote than did. Mm-hmm. More people didn't vote than did. And maybe what we need to ask, and if you're going to make an ask what is it we all collectively want?
There you go.
You can say, yes. I got to get something for my vote, but your something, there should be at least collectively things that we can all agree on. But if your ask is different than my ask, then we don't get, neither one of us get quite what we want, then we say, I won't participate. Listen, us not participating is the best thing in the world, and it contributes right. to what we go through right now.
You but have to participate regardless.
It matter in terms of the resources that are allocated matters now. So mm-hmm. even if we are poor and we're in the situation we're in, our educational situation, the prison system is as much a lack of participation on our part and showing up on our part as any other factors that we have to deal with. We already know they don't want us to do it. But to say to me that I'm just going to sit there and nobody's doing anything, so I'll just sit here. You know, I'm in a movie called The Edge. He said that most people die of shame, and that's inactivity. And us doing anything, us doing nothing, is the proper solution. I don't agree. I think that's.
I agree with you, but I would say this though. I would say this though. You know, you look at it like this. I don't want people to feel like, well, the blacks will vote for me because I'm better than Trump. That's not absolutely. A reason to vote for somebody. That's you know what I mean? And that's my only fear. Like I feel like when we put that pressure on Joe Biden a little bit. Then all of a sudden he did a lift your every voice.
He came with the black agenda.
You know what I mean? And I feel like we have to continue to put pressure on people and make sure we get what we want. Because now it's not. We're not just voting for you because we don't want to vote for Trump. We want to vote for you because we feel like you're going to do something for our people and our kids and our community.
What do we want collectively? What do we want? What is
the agenda? Because I would like to see some form of economic justice. You know what I'm saying? We know this country is never going to give us reparations, but it can be some type of equity plan. It can be some type of equity plan that we put money into these poor and disenfranchised communities to make the schools better, to make the housing better, you know, to make the hospitals better, to give people access to better health care.
That's a level of specificity. I think proper and adequate education for all of our children. I think that our women, that we shouldn't have inadequate health care. I think those are asked, but just to say in a nebulous way that you got to give me something, it's so nebulous. It's like a woman telling you, make me happy without giving you any guidelines.
Right.
You know you got to eat that DL.
Goodness gracious. Goodness. But you know, like, even if you look at the pandemic, let's be honest, right? There's some people that have saliva coming out their mouth because they know how much money they're going to make. If you have money, you rich, the white people, they're making millions and billions off this pandemic. But it's us that have the small businesses that are never open again. That is us that can never pay our mortgage and not be able to, you know, we'll lose our mortgage and lose our cars and not be able to go to school because we can't afford it. So how do we help ourselves? That's what I want to know. We got to help our own.
That is the specificity that will help us. But just saying, I'm not doing this to you, this thing, you got to ask them for what a quiet mouth don't get fed. Now, what you fill that mouth with is what we're arguing about. Listen, you're absolutely right. When it's amazing that the very people who are now essential workers are the very motherfuckers we were trying to send off. Like, look at the people who are dying. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Look, like it's disgraceful when I watch them point a camera at 1,000 kids, children, who stand in front of Michael Jordan to get Michael Jordan's at the mall. What about the mm-hmm. people who open the fucking mall? What about the people that... because we put child-proof caps on medicine just for dumbass kids. But when I watch the vice president of the United States walk around with a guy without a mask on, and then so children do what they're supposed to. I just don't understand how... we'll point... You'll arrest people for not social distancing, but you won't arrest two white men that slaughtered a black man.
Right.
All these are reasonable asks, but to say, mm-hmm. unless you do this for me without a level of specificity, is a nebulous thing. I don't understand that. There are asks that we should all, as black and brown people, be able to agree on.
I agree with that. I think that, you know, what did he did wrong? Well, what he did wrong was he said a black agenda, but he didn't specify what it was. If you're going to ring that kind of alarm, you should have something ready to go absolutely. Right then and there. That I agree with.
Absolutely. Now, Dia, one thing that I've been saying that I really pay attention to is who is also going to be working with you. Who's going to be the vice president? Who else are you appointing to positions of power that I know that I can trust? So who would you like to see as vice president?
I mean, I think there are any number of people, but ultimately it's a political calculation, because if you pick a senator and then that seat becomes vulnerable, then you erode some of your power. Like, so there are seasons. First off, I wouldn't like to see Amy Klobuchar. I just
no.
I think she makes white women go, eh.
Yes, and people gave Kamala hell for her record as a prosecutor. Go look at Klobuchar's record as a prosecutor.
So I think you're absolutely right. I like Kamala I had my questions with her, and I've actually got a chance to talk to her. I've had my questions about her. I think she would be excellent. I think Elizabeth Warren, despite the fact that I think she would be excellent, but that does pose the problem of having a vulnerable seat. I think people are talking about Stacey Abrams. Now, I don't know her governance. I don't know what she has done in terms of governance. But the bottom line is, when you're making this more so than any other vice president vice presidential selection, it's kind of like a literal co-signer. He needs somebody.
Yeah.
That galvanizes people. So this is probably the most important vice president selection. I would say that is one of the instances where we see what he thinks about the people who are supporting him. And I think that the one thing that is readily apparent in this whole thing, I don't think a woman should be vice president. I think a woman should be president. Because if you look at the
nation right.
led by women, less of them are dying. Their economy is less in shambles. And I think it's ultimately time to dispel the notion, even the cities that women run, they're people. Because I think there's a modicum of empathy and common sense that men have ceded that women have not. And I think whoever he picks as vice president needs to be fully capable and ready to be president day one. If something
That's right. Joe Biden might die at any moment.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Every one of the people running for president looks like they are under the more. None of them should be outside. None of them.
especially with the coronavirus outbreak. They keep talking about it kills elderly people. Well, what are y'all?
Oh my God! No, everybody, no, in the Congress, I'm gonna go back to work. You better stay your old ass home.
All right, well, don't move. We got more with DL Hughley when we come back. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with DL Hughley. Now, DL, have you seen the Jordan documentary, Last Dance? And how do you think about the fact that he is around his team? And are you like that around your team?
I think that his single-mindedness was something that we all, I think that everybody embodies some of that. But what I think that Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan primarily because of his great work ethic. But I don't think he would have been beloved in the social media era. Like, when we know everything about you, when we know what you did, we know what you said. Part of any measure of greatness is what you're up against. And what he was up against was not the backdrop of social media. So I think what he did in terms of his single-mindedness, but I thought what he did to Scottie Pippen was bullshit. And if we'd have knew, if you do your teammate, your supposed ace like that, where you're not supportive of them, people would have a different estimation of that. They'd be like, hey nigga, that's out of pocket. So I think he was a great athlete, and I think that you have to have, he was a great athlete, a less desirable human being to me. I thought he was
I didn't like how they was tiptoeing around race. On the episode when they was talking about why they was attacking Michael Jordan, like, y'all know good and well he wasn't care about no gambling. That was a powerful black man. That's what they do to you. They tear you down.
Right. But you can't expect people to involve that when that's never been your conversation, man. Like, wants to say Republicans buy tennis. You have to, like, if you want somebody to get your back, you got to get there sometime, too. You got to have, you got to be involved in the struggles that matter to other people so they'll be involved in your struggles. You can't just, everything can't be about you. And I think that that's what's going on. But I tell you what, I've been watching spectacular documentaries. John Coltrane and Lee Morgan, and it's some dope thing. And I watched Tiger King. Let me tell you something. When I learned from that, if you pet a tiger long enough, eventually you don't want to f- a dude. That's what I've learned.
I don't understand that.
That's all you got from that?
I threw out my Detroit Tigers hat. Are you f***ing around here?
Oh man, DL, you are crazy, man. What I was gonna say to you, DL? I was gonna say, what are you gonna do without stand up for the next few months? How are you gonna stay sharp?
I get to do the radio every day, but this shit literally writes itself. Like I was watching Jerome Adams, who was another like that whole Surgeon General dude. Because the one thing that I hate is every time something happens, even though the international pandemic raging, every time something happens to black people, it's always our fault. Like, it's our fault. Like, everybody else is dying, but you yourself.
Right.
When that dude said to start drinking, smoking, and alcohol, I'm like, well, you can't make me stay home and tell me I can't drink and smoke and do drugs. But it's been hard, too. But I'm learning. Look, I baked cookies last night.
You did?
Regular cookies or weed cookies?
I've been cooking for my old lady. Yeah, for sure.
So when is the last time you've been home for this long of a period of time, DL?
Never. I just tell her that last night. I'm like, I'm waking up with the same woman. What kind of thing is this? Who does
stop it? Stop it. Stop it.
You better stop. You'll get your ass in trouble.
I don't know why you shut up talking after the phone. This is...
DL, cut it out. We don't do that. Black men don't cheat. Come on now. Stop now.
Now, when they open the world back up.
I know she's sick of you, DL.
When they open this world back up, how long is it going to take you to go out and really start doing these shows again?
Hey, man, I the last show I did was 3 days before they closed. I was in Texas in San Antonio 3 days before it closed down. I think ultimately it ain't going to be entertainers do what they do. And I think that when they open it up, there's a certain, like, you dig your gig and you want to be safe, but at a certain point you itch to be what you were, and so it'll be more a question of when people feel comfortable coming out.
Right.
But for me, this is what I've been, pandemic or not. This is who I am, and so I can't wait to be on stage and say the things that I say and do the things I do. But I want more than anything else for people to feel a sense of safety. I think everybody wants normalcy. I think it's something that's a bridge too far. I don't know that we'll ever have that again because we have a memory of what things were like.
Right.
But I think a level of safety where people feel more secure. And I think that despite political differences, that there are people who actually seem to care about, like, your governor seems to give a f-. He seems to give
people. Yeah, he does. Yep.
I think our governor seems to give a f-. I think Whitmer and Michigan seems to care. So at least having a caring, sober, thoughtful group of leaders, I think will contribute to people feeling safer, and then that contributes to getting back to a semblance of a life we recognize.
She might be vice president too, Governor Whitmer. That's what I'm hearing.
I think she let a redneck pull in the governor. She don't flinch. She's up now.
I one more thing before we go, Dia. Yesterday, everybody jumped on Tyra Banks. All that old shit she said on America's Next Top Model. To me, that is the dumbest shit in the world. And the reason I say that, it's like I was speeding on a highway. The speed limit used to be 70. Now it's 55. But you're sending me speeding tickets from 20 years ago. When the speed limit was 70, I was doing goddamn 70.
It's actually what they did with Eddie Murphy's Raw. That shit was funny. And then we gauge things by our prism of today. And if we're going to do that, let's go all the way back. Let's not just do things like that. But I think... You can't, like, it's that prisoner of now bullshit. I think we are. It's the whole thing I was just speaking of. This collective, be who the f*** you are, feel how you feel. Obviously, there are going to be consequences. But this whole notion that we all have to think alike and we all have to think things are wrong. We all, like, when I remember when Snoop said what he said about Gail King, I didn't think he was calling everybody names. I didn't think it was everybody. I thought it was her. But there are people who hear that and go, I feel bad. Well, my wasn't talking to you. Like, it's when black people say, when a black dude feel bad, it makes us all look bad. No, it makes that nigga look bad. I don't at home.
But, you know, but there is also nothing wrong for taking accountability. If you feel, you might feel like you look at it from somebody else's point of view and feel like, you know what, I get it. Because sometimes that does happen, too.
Empathy is different than taking it on as a martyr. Empathy is different. Like, everybody loved Jesus. Wasn't nobody holding with that cross. Ain't nobody did that.
That's right.
So empathy is different. But now we have this whole mindset where we don't have, well, and it's a false one because it's like, if you insult me and I feel like you called me a name, I don't then commensurately feel like you owe me money when you make money off of your creativity. So I just think, individuals are individuals, and people say things that are out of line, and casting people off and judging them for what they've said in one moment is even with Puff said, as angry as it made me, he's done a lot of great shit too. So it's not that, but I think you got to be who you are, and like I just and that's right. That's why I dig this space. As dangerous and precarious as this is, I love this part of, like, I was telling my wife, I said, I am nervous, but I feel more comfortable in a situation like this than I almost ever have.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, definitely thank you for checking in. We appreciate it. And if we learned one thing from you today, we learned get rid of all your Detroit Tiger gear and hats and everything. That's one thing.
Don't pet no goddamn tigers, bro.
Let me tell you something. It's a bumper sticker. Pet a tiger, dude. I'm telling you, it's the same thing.
I can't. See, I can't. You go too far.
Hey, no, he got a point, though. Because after Mike Tyson, remember when Mike Tyson had that white tiger? Shortly after that, he made that statement. He said, "I'll f*** you till you love me." He told us he said that to another man.
There you go. I think we should leave right there.
Yeah. Well, Mike Tyson, he said it.
That's a symbiotic relationship.
And Dion, make sure you give our love to Jasmine and shout out to your hairline, by the way. Your hairline is amazing.
Yeah, you see it. Yeah.
Tell Charlamagne to take his hat off. Tell Charlamagne to take his hat off. I'll take mine off. Tell Charlamagne to take your hat off, bro. Take your hat off, Charlamagne.
Hey, I don't follow the crowd.
Neither does your hair.
Neither does your hairline. All right. It's the Breakfast Club.
Horrible motherfuckers.
It's D.L. Hughley. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed up.
So like a donkey. Yeehaw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Donkey of the Day goes to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Now, if you look around the world, you have a bunch of white people who are going out of their way to prove that they love black people and not just black culture. All right? Everybody wants to have conversations about ridding the world of systemic racism. Everyone wants to discuss creating a new system because we all know the system of white supremacy does not work for everybody. Look, I'm on record saying, ain't no good gonna come to America until they do right by black people. Period. Poo. God has given America the opportunity to right his wrongs. God has given America the opportunity to reverse his bad karma. So I'm not upset at the white folks and white companies I see tweeting and posting memes, doing videos like Roger Goodell did, because Roger Goodell has the right idea, because one of the first ways to reverse bad karma is to write a letter or call those who you have wronged in the past. So that's a good first step for Roger. Okay, I'm going to let you hear what Roger had to say, and then I'm going to use Roger Goodell as a moment to teach, because these white folks at these corporations need teaching. Let's hear it.
We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much-needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
Well, the first player he has to reach out to is Colin Kaepernick. If he doesn't do that, it's a half-ass apology. You have to personally apologize to Colin Kaepernick. You also have to admit that he was blackballed. And if it wasn't a strategic, intentional blackball, when they noticed no owners were attempting to sign him, nobody at the top intervened to say that's wrong. Make sure he plays, okay? I got a question for the NFL. How many black people on the board of directors at the NFL? There's only one black GM in the NFL. The NFL got three black coaches, zero black owners, but players make up over 70% of the league. 70% of the league, but 0% of the ownership. If you want to dismantle white supremacy, you want to change systemic racism, how about dismantle that good old boy mentality in the NFL, Roger Goodell? Not to mention, I don't like people getting no light bulb moments in the NFL, because Colin Kaepernick rarely talks. But he talked at the beginning of this peaceful protest a few years ago, and he told you exactly why he was protesting. So no way Roger Goodell or anyone else in the NFL could have missed that. Let's hear what Colin had to say for the millionth time, because I finally think y'all are listening.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for, and that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for: freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now. When there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand. There's a lot of things that need to change. One specifically is police brutality. There's people being murdered unjustly and not being held accountable. You know, I have great respect for men and women that have fought for this country. I have family, I have friends that have gone and fought for this country. And they fight for freedom. They fight for the people. They fight for liberty and justice for everyone. And that's not happening.
Simple. Simple. And for the record, if you wonder why black people have a problem with patriotism, it's because we know the creeds in America don't fully relate to us. Freedom, justice, equality, that's not fully for black people. Liberty and justice for all, nope, it's liberty and justice for white folks. We know that. So how can you expect us to feel patriotic when this country has shown us time and time again that the rules for white America don't apply to black America? But I'm not here to talk about that right now. I want to talk about the NFL and all other corporations in this country. If you are a corporation screaming Black Lives Matter, screaming that you want to dismantle white supremacy, that you want to abolish systemic racism, well, then pop the hood. Let's see what's in this engine. Because if there's no black parts underneath that engine making that car go, then you are a liar. Okay? If your love for blackness isn't reflected in your place of business, then all these corporations are full of it. Okay, your corporation is full of it if your love of so-called blackness isn't reflected in your place of business, all right? Don't scream Black Lives Matter if you don't have a lot of black hires, okay? Using the hashtag Black Lives Matter is great, but what type of black economic opportunities are you providing for black people? We don't need I love black people tweets and memes and videos. Those are great. They make us feel good, but what about things that make us actually good, okay? I love seeing massive donations. I want to see more massive donations from these corporations with no strings attached, all right? I'm about all that from these corporations. But if you have a corporation and you know damn well your business doesn't reflect the Black Lives Matter stuff you preaching, then shut the F up forever, okay? Don't let Black Lives Matter turn to Black Lives Marketing for some of these corporations, because that's all it is. This is marketing and promo for so many of these companies. But we're not going to let y'all tweet and just walk away. We got questions. How many black people work at your place of business? How many black people have senior roles in your company? How many black people on your board? What does your black representation look like? I personally feel like if black people make up 13% of the population, we should have 13% representation in all industries via equity, ownership, involvement. Do you have black people at your company who are outperforming the white people, but the white people still make more money than the black people? Why is that? Until that changes in these corporations, then guess what? Corporations, you are still practicing systemic racism. Period. Pooh. Please give these corporations and Roger Goodell the biggest hee-haw. You can't even use the term unconscious bias no more. You can't use that term anymore because you are awake. You are conscious. You are very aware of what's happening out here in these streets. And you want to change things? Simply look at your highest. Simple as that. White America.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you, brother.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, brother. What is that? What is that?
Just trying to confuse you. That's all.
You're doing a good job. All right. We got more coming up next. We're The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Come on.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Yee.
Keep the bread.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this Cookie.
Cookie!
Cookie from out of Florida, Broward County. I know you're talking about us, Charlamagne.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What's up,
All
Cookie?
All right, Cookie, what's good?
What's your question for Yeezy?
Okay, my question is, me and my husband, we rap. Like, we spit bars. Like, we really got bars, man. But mm-hmm. we up there in age. We've been spitting for a long time. We 32. And we just wondering if we should keep trying.
Are you any good?
You want to hear me? I got
Yeah,
bars.
Go ahead. Let's hear it. Let's hear something, Cookie.
All right, you get C-double-O-P. Nah, you don't know me. Yeah, you may see me, but you can never be me. And you can never beat me in a hip-hop battle. Soon as you see me, fool, better skedaddle. Survive at the paddle, I swim through the river. Meaning I can make it through whatever life is. I make a quiver every time I spit rhymes. Got your man on my hands. Cookie Black is a diamond.
Yo, I love the comedy rap. Yo, you really made me laugh. The comedy rap is dope.
This is Ask Ye. Ye, what do you think?
So, Cookie, a couple things here. Have you made any type of progress with your career as a rapper?
I performed a couple places. I mean, I performed at the Hard Rock a while ago. At the time I was working there, but we did like an employee talent show, and I won both times. I won both times, though. Yeah, I performed at a few places, you know, locally and stuff like that. So it's like...
Now, keep it real, Cookie. Have you been going really, really hard to pursue your dream?
Been trying, yes. You know, get knocked down a couple times. You know, we went to an event in Orlando, and it was like, oh, you know, people not really check for older rappers right now. I'm like, yo, but I've been doing this for so long, and it just so happened that some opportunities are coming out right now, you know, where you can, you know, this artist showcase and this artist showcase. And
Have you been recording music in the studio anywhere, though?
Yes, you can go on the Instagram at Gru Entertainment LLC.
Man, just tell her she sucks. And to get a job.
I just want to say, I don't think that being in your 30s is a reason to not pursue your career as far as being an artist if you're really great at it and if you go really hard at it. You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes people want things to happen and they do a showcase here and there, but they're not going super hard because people who really want to be in this industry have to really live, breathe, eat, sleep it, like do everything they can to make it happen. So that's why I was asking you, are you doing everything that you can? Have you been going really hard, or is this something that you've been doing kind of, you know, here and there, but not really pursuing?
Yeah, I've been trying to go hard. I really have been trying to. Of course, you know, with my age, you know, I eventually had children and stuff like that, but I think I'm still got bars. I'm still ready to put in the work.
You
I
don't.
Charlamagne me saying I suck. Nah, I don't suck, man.
You do. Learn a trade. You know what I'm saying? Do you have a job?
Yeah, I got a job.
There you go. Get another one. Work,
well,
baby.
I just don't want you to use age as an excuse. We know an artist right now that's putting out his first ever album. He's in his 40s. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that's ever...
He's good. Exactly. Steven, the white man in the room, said, but he's good. Because you're talking about Jay Electronica.
So what I'm,
he's good.
So what I'm saying is...
Hold on, so you're saying I'm not good?
Oh, my God.
That's what you've been saying for the
Never
last
mind.
7 minutes,
I'm
mama.
I'm clocking out of this conversation.
All right, well, listen, give everybody your Instagram. Everybody is going to weigh in and go and look at your music that you have posted and let you know what they think. This is a great opportunity for you to get some feedback.
That's right. Give them your Instagram so people can go tell you the truth.
Ah, man, I'm hurt, Charlamagne.
What is it?
Gru Entertainment, GREW Entertainment, LLC, man.
I love you, though.
I love y'all. I listen to you every morning. I'm hurt right now, though, Charlamagne, but it's okay.
Well, I don't think you can judge it just based off of that. So.
Yeah, Charlamagne didn't hear no music. So, you know, he hasn't heard no music. He just heard...
So what'd you think of that freestyle you just heard from her, Envy?
Huh?
What'd you think of what you just heard from her?
I was listening. I was listening.
Y'all are so full of shit.
Thank you, bro. What? I was listening.
Y'all are so full of
I
and
listening.
That's why she gonna waste her time for the next 3-4 years trying to
she
rap.
She could have just had an off day.
Okay, sure.
Cookie the Black Widow. Whoa. All right.
Okay.
Okay, let's keep it going.
Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. I'ma
keep it real with you. Get some real advice with Angela Ye. It's Ask Ye.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Portia calling from Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey,
843.
What's your question for Yee?
Okay, so I have a question. Basically, I've been dealing with some sexual harassment at my job with my supervisor. So I took the appropriate steps, went to HR, even talked to a lawyer about the situation, but it seems like they're not trying to let this manager go.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, what's the next step? What should I do from this point on? Should I just find another job? Should I keep pushing the issue? Because I feel like he's retaliating.
You feel like he's retaliating, you said?
Yes.
Like, give me some examples.
Basically, like, he tried to put me on third shift without telling me, which was one thing. Another thing, he nitpicked at little things that he claimed I'm doing wrong because I'm an industrial technician, so I work through maintenance department,
mm-hmm.
being that I'm one of the girls with a bunch of guys. He just kind of nitpicks at me for little things that I feel like it's, like, not even serious to nitpick over because he never did before until I went to HR about him.
Okay. So here's a couple of things. First of all, you said that you've complained, right?
Yes, I went to HR twice.
And so their response is what?
We're going to work on it. We're going to work on him. We're going to try to figure out how we're going to make you comfortable while being here because we know you're not. But that's pretty much it. And they're dragging their feet about letting him go or, you know, what are they going to do with the supervisor? I had proof that he did that.
Right.
Text message and everything.
So you have all of this in writing and you've emailed them and they've responded via email. I highly recommend you get yourself a lawyer. That's when they take things seriously.
Okay.
And you should not ever have to work under those circumstances. You should feel safe and protected at work. If you go to HR with a complaint and evidence that somebody is doing this to you and making you feel this way at work and you're uncomfortable and you're feeling belittled, then you need to make sure that you take those matters into your own hand because you have the power to do that.
Okay, well, I'll probably just go back to the attorney I was talking to. She told me that the only way she can take my case is if the job was to fire me or there was no changes moving forward. So because there's no changes, I'm just going to go back to her.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you have a legitimate case. You have these text messages. Plus, I think you have to keep a record of what's been happening at work since you've been complaining to HR. And all the things that he's been, every detail that you can get and anything that you can get in writing as evidence, you should try to get.
Okay.
And make sure you send those emails. Make sure you show what their responses are. Present all of those to a lawyer. You definitely have a case. And I think this is great because you don't want this to happen to somebody else. So it's great that you spoke up. You've done what you're supposed to do on your part. They haven't done what they're supposed to do on their behalf. So now it's time to move it to the next level.
Hey, look here. You ain't got you ain't got none of your cousins that can come box them anymore.
I mean, I do got cousins who want to come box them up now, but listen, it's like, this is a white man, so I don't want my people to get locked up for that now.
Man, I ain't care to be a white man now. That man ain't got no business trying to feel on your bunkie at work now.
Yeah, he be trying to talk, but he want to touch my tattoo and all kind of stuff.
He want to touch the tattoo.
Well, you damn right, you are not getting none of your family's locked up over this.
Well, I need your cousin to come punch our co-worker in the mouth, too.
Relax. Stay out of Geechee Full Conversation now.
Me and co-worker, give me an ass. And I want to get
stay out of Geechee Full Conversation now. Stay out of Geechee Full Conversation
now. Y'all not going to make a joke out of her sexual harassment at work.
This ain't no joke. I'm talking to her in our native language. Just Geechee, Charleston, Gullah, 843 all day.
Yeah. Well, 843.
I'm with you, girl. I know it has to be tough for you to go to work every day under those circumstances and not feel like anybody cares.
I'm so uncomfortable every day. And it's like, I left work today just to get away. Took a sick day just to not be there with them.
Yeah, that's a terrible feeling. So you have to nip this in the bud and let them know you ain't going to keep this going. I have the power over you, and I'm going to make y'all look crazy.
Exactly. And thank you, Charlamagne. I love you, though.
I love you more.
I'm serious, though. You got your cousin. I need
shut up, boy.
Punching the malt. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. You go sneak him or something.
Yeah, give him a little sneak. Sneak him. Give him a little sneak.
Ask Ye. 800-585-1051 if you need relationship advice. Ye will help you out. Now keep it locked. We have more coming up next. It's The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Come on.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Good morning, Giovanna.
Uh-oh, what's the matter, Giovanna?
Talk to you. Sound like you whispering.
I'm whispering because my college student is home.
Okay.
And I don't want him to hear my question.
Oh, boy, mommy freaky. All right, let's go.
Yeah, DJ Envy, happy anniversary. My husband and I be celebrating 24 years of summative.
Wow.
In our 20s.
Congrats to that.
Yeah, same to you. My question is, I don't know how you deal with all those kids, but what to do now that these kids are home when you're trying to get freaky with your husband?
Do you have any?
Why you sustain these long-term marriages is because y'all do all kinds of crazy stuff, you know? But we trying to figure it out.
How many kids?
Just one. But
okay, he's home from college.
He's graduated last year, thank goodness. But, you know, with everything going on, his grad plans didn't work out. He was supposed to relocate to California. He's home with us. We have a condo and can't get down the way we usually get down, you know?
Oh, so is he ever going outside? Is there someplace like outdoor space
where
he
can go get some air? Right now. And we, you know, normally we go to parks, but parks have been closed. We don't want to get arrested because he's essential. I own a catering business, kind of, you know, in the public eye. I don't want to be, you know, known for anything scandalous, but of course.
Y'all be going to the parks getting freaky? I like this.
No. She said,
Hold on.
Yes, they do.
Not now.
Now, of course. Everything is shut down. We try to be safe. As I said, my husband is essential. I own a catering business. Shout out to the small business owners. I fed the front line. Still doing my...
What's the name of your catering business? Let's plug that, too, while we're on here.
Oh, thank you. Impamama Signature Recipes. I'm in Cliffside Park, but I work out of a commercial kitchen in Inglewood. So Inglewood Hospital, Holy Name, TNEC, Feed the Frontline. We're still doing more.
Now, Giovanna, let me ask you this. Doesn't your son have to go to sleep at some point?
Now that he's home, not really. I mean, come on. You know these older kids. They're on FaceTime all hours of the night. You know, and we're not quiet.
You know what? You know what I think is fun? You need to have sex quietly.
Quietly.
And that actually is really fun, but it doesn't normally happen, but it's actually very exciting when people might.
My husband's louder than me, actually.
Well, you're gonna
have to
cover
you're
gonna have to cover his mouth while you're doing it, but it's actually something really fun about trying to be quiet while you have sex. And that might just be something y'all gonna have to do. Just be careful, quiet. It is exciting.
We're gonna try, Mama.
Can I be honest with you?
Creative ideas, especially from DJ. What do you do with all those kids? We live in a condo.
Well, first of all, the kids go to sleep. The kids go to sleep, and then the older kids.
The older one, exactly.
But he knows what's going on. You don't think he having sex?
She don't want him to hear that. Nobody want to hear their parents having sex.
Thank you, Angela. The kids don't want to hear that.
Put a lock on that door, and you and your hubby
go in.
He's not walking in. Don't worry about it. He'll put his headphones on, and he'll be in his video game.
Giovanna, let me tell you what else you can do. Let me tell you what else you could do, because you said the headboard. I'm glad you said that. Put a sheet on the floor and have sex quietly on the floor.
We have carpet under the floor under our bed, but
all right. Well, listen. Put a sheet on the floor. Put on some music. Put the TV on. Whatever you got to do.
Mama, don't even worry about your son. You know, my daughter came into me. She came into my room the other morning. And was like, guys, you know, I don't go to sleep at 12 o'clock, right?
Exactly.
You know, I hear everything that was going on. And you know what I said? I said, well, you know how you got here, right? And then she just walked out. It is what it is. My daughter's 18. Your son is—he graduated college. He got to be in his 20s. He understands.
But listen, I just want to say, you just need to make a fun game out of it. Put that sheet on the floor to him. All right, we got to be quiet. Turn on some music, kind of low, and just have sex slowly and quietly.
He's a grown ass boy, Mama. He's in your house. He's old enough now. You and hubby get freaky.
He doesn't want to see his mother's face. His father will come out smiling, but he doesn't want to see me come down and make his avocado toast after I didn't.
Avocado toast.
Well, I hope you would wash your hands at least.
Washing my hands and everything, but okay, we'll try the sheet on the floor. Thank you.
No, Mama, get your freaky ass on.
Emmy, this is Ask Ye. She wanted advice, and my advice is have some fun with it. It's a different time. It's a different era. She don't want her son to hear. Put that sheet on the floor and have fun trying to be quiet. Mm-hmm.
Quarantine sex, maintaining the long-term marriages. You got to do what you got to do.
Mama, I haven't worked out the bed thing yet.
And every time he makes a little noise with his mouth and he starts getting too loud, just cover his mouth and be like, hey, you got to be quiet.
Mama, nah. And let me ask you a question. When you find out what to do with the bed, help me out with the bed, because I haven't figured that out yet. My bed be squeaking. We haven't figured that out, man. We used WD-40.
We got the purple mattress and everything, and it's still
mine, too.
The mattress.
What the hell is the purple mattress?
He's loud.
It's a label. It's a type of mattress. You have an air mattress?
No, we don't have, please. We would bust an air mattress. We tried that back in the 90s.
She tried to play you. Angela just tried to play you, Mom. She's going to tell you she got an air mattress. You're a grown-ass woman. She tried to play you like you some little young cat with an air mattress.
Wow.
I have a
Facebook
air mattress. Wow.
I actually have an air mattress as a spare mattress in my house in case I have company, and I'm like, okay, here's an air mattress. So sometimes people come and spend the night. You can blow up. You can use the air mattress.
In the 80s. No. I don't know if that's going to work. We gonna try
and it's a, actually it's a pillow top air mattress, and it's very nice.
Yeah,
and my goddaughter
inflate automatically. Yeah, I have that for guests, but I don't think that's gonna work.
Yeah.
For
Mama, go in. Don't worry about him.
We're gonna go and go. Okay, I'm gonna take your advice.
Go in. He knows. Married, he understands.
So I know you know DJ MV. Long term marriage, you gotta do what you gotta do.
That's right.
Sometimes
right,
you gotta stick it now. Kids or not.
That's right. Or stick kids your face out the window. Let hubby hit it from the back. That way, if you yell, it's outside. You go in. You get freaky.
Then my neighbors. I've already had notices under my door from my neighbors. That's the last thing I need is for them to see my hanging out the window now too.
Wow.
Why are you so long and hanging out the window?
Not long, but you know, stick my face out the window. That's gonna come next.
Oh my gosh! Thanks. Well, have fun with it. Get on that floor and have some fun.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck, Mama.
And sustain these long-term marriages. We out here doing it too.
There you go.
Black love. Black love.
Black love.
Don't do your catering straight from doing what you do with your husband. Just make sure you wash your hands, shower. We don't want any extra.
That food
DNA.
Had more love in it, boy. All right. Thank you, Mama. All right. 805.
That ain't love. And that ain't cream either.
Okay. All right. We got more coming up next. We're the Breakfast Club. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we are talking about Eva. She was on Wendy Williams' show, and she talked about her child and changing her child's last name. Let's hear it.
Sterling,
yes,
like
legally
everybody else.
Changed her name this past year. We went through a lot to do it, but
how much more before the actual process is done?
Well, the name change is illegal, so now we have to go through the adoption process. And I mean, he's making it a little bit easier for us, acting crazy in the public.
Well, I guess Life Jennings seen that and he didn't like that too much, are you?
He said, "I think this is so whack, changing your daughter's last name from her father's to somebody else's, especially when the father tries to see her. The daughter don't have anything to do with their beef, and what kind of man allows that? Ish, piss me off."
So we're asking 800-585-1051, is it acceptable to change your child's last name? What do you think, Charlamagne?
I mean, I got to know the context of the situation. You know what I'm saying? If you're doing it just out of spite, just because you don't like your baby daddy because he don't want to be with you and you got a new man now, that's whack. But I mean,
what about
if you got a deadbeat daddy?
Yeah, what about if it's a deadbeat daddy, the dad's not around, the dad is not taking care of the child?
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the son and daughter shouldn't want to wear the name of a deadbeat.
Yeah, I don't know Eva's situation, but you know, with Kevin McCall, I mean, we all know Kevin McCall has problems mentally. But it does seem like he is trying to take care of his daughter. It seems like he goes to court. I just don't know. Like, I don't know if he's abusive. I don't know. You know what I mean? But in a situation, if there is a deadbeat dad and I'm taking it away from that situation, if the dad is not in the child's life and he's not even helping no way whatsoever, no. I say change that name immediately. What do you think, E?
Well, legally, if a woman wants to change her children's last names, she either has to get consent from the biological father, and if he doesn't give consent, he can object to it, and then she has to get a petition and then go to court, and he can show up to court and say he doesn't want that to happen, and then the judge has to decide. So that's how it goes down legally. But I do feel like whoever is the father, if the mother chooses to do that and the father is causing issues or he's not in the child's life or not holding up his responsibilities, then he's not really your dad.
And if the last name is Zimmerman, you definitely want to change
it's
that
stupid.
One. You
Shut
don't
up.
Want to walk around with that last name.
Goodness gracious. Hello, who's this?
Sheila from Jersey.
So what do you think? Is it acceptable to change your child's last name?
No, I don't agree with that.
Explain.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I don't. No matter how much you don't like your kid's dad, or no matter how crazy he might act, or no matter what he does, changing the last name is not going to change the DNA. It's not going to change who the father is. So you have to get over that. And on top of that, like, you're falsifying an image of somebody that's not true. Like, that's not her dad. And if one day it doesn't work out between you two, now he legally is her dad, and that's not really her dad. You know what I mean? Like, it's stupid. It's petty.
It doesn't make the other person your dad. They would have to actually adopt the children, so the kids aren't adopted, even if you're married, right?
I'm talking about, like, the image that you're portraying to your children.
Now, what if your kids are like, I want to have the same last name as you and my dad, you know, the stepfather?
Well, I mean, that's a choice that they have to make, and the two parents should come to a middle ground with. That would be their choice. But if they're not old enough to make those type of decisions, just saying that because whatever the situation is, you know, like some kids, they grow up and they're told this is their dad, this is their dad. And that's what they think, you know, like,
okay.
So
What if the biological father is absent from the children's life?
Me personally, I don't agree in that. My father was not in my life either, and my mother still maintained our last name as his. I mean, I guess that would be up to the child when they grow up to decide if they want to do that or not.
Okay. Thank you, Mama.
I just wouldn't do that.
Okay. Hello, who's this?
This is Boone from Dayton, Ohio.
Hey, is it acceptable to change a child's last name?
I think it just really depends on the circumstances. You know, my daughter, her father is not in her life and has never been in her life, which mm-hmm. is fine, but she still has his last name. And I don't tell her, like, bad things about her dad. You know, she can find out on her own, just like my mom told me about my dad.
Damn.
But I don't think a name defines a person. Now, if you have, you know, someone new in your life and you want to spend the rest of their life with you, and, you know, you and your kids are a package deal. And if that dad is not, you know, in that child's life, I don't see a problem with it being. But, then you got these bitter baby moms. Mm. You know, you got these, you know, baby moms that, you know, couldn't change the man's life with a child. And, you know, being used as a tactic to attack.
Right.
You know, so, a baby is not a pawn, you know.
Right.
So whatever that child's name is, leave that baby alone.
Okay.
But, you know, that child, I think it is also like, as we always talk about women taking the husband's name after marriage. I think for kids, if you live in a house with the mom and the stepfather, and that's who you know as your dad, and you call him dad, you might want to have the same last name.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, this is Nathan out of Orlando, Florida. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
What up, bro?
Peace, King.
Is it acceptable to change a child's last name, brother?
Nah, brother, I don't think it is, man. I want to share experience. I'm glad you guys picked up. I actually had an ex-wife who tried to do that to me, and I would like to use her government, if that's okay with y'all.
Just the first name, please.
Sandra.
Okay.
I don't... South Carolina, Charlemagne.
I already know. You got you a nice country-ass gal.
Yep, tried to do that to your boy, and I think that's hateful and disrespectful to a man. I don't think nobody should do anything like that.
Were you in your child's life? Are you in your child's life?
I am in my child's life. I love my kids very much. I'm a Virgo, Envy. You already know how we do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Love our kids. Okay.
You know, we take care of our own.
So what happened? Did she try to do it legally, and then you blocked it?
She talked about trying to do it, and then she got a lawyer to try to do it, and then I, you know, kind of paid a little bit of money out there, and, you know, they dropped the whole thing.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you, brother. So what's the moral of the story, guys?
Moral of the story is that every case is different, though, and there's no one-size-fits-all when it comes to family. So I think whatever decision you make, it always has to be in the best interest of your children and not in your own selfish best interest.
The moral of the story is y'all better stop picking who y'all mate with like y'all rolling dice in the back of a moving goddamn pickup truck, okay? That's what y'all better stop doing, all right?
Take care of your kids,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. When you lay down with people, man, think about spending the rest of your life with this person, because you never know. This person might give you a disease you can't get rid of. This person might give you a baby. Or better yet, you might grow to love this person and be married to him the rest of your life. Either way, that's all forever. Just pick the right forever when you're dealing with these people, okay?
All right, we got more coming up next. We're the Breakfast Club. Solomon, you got a positive note?
Yes, man. For everybody out there that's, doing a little so we all don't have to do a lot, I just want you to know that act as if what you do makes a difference, because it does.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hills and Adonis, mm-hmm. back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like,
yeah.
Okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's
what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star starting May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.